Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, March 19th, about 2 hours post equity market open with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just well today, Scott. Yourself?
Well, doing as good as can be considering the volatility we've had. We've had a lot of mixed economic releases that we're going to go over. Obviously, we had the Fed yesterday, which very big impact on equities and treasuries. So we got a lot to cover here. So let's just go ahead and dive on in. So what we'd like to do here recently. Oh, and by the way, just a little housekeeping here. Carl and I have some brand new mics that we are kind of testing out. So if the audio is a little bit different than past podcasts, that is why. So jumping into the major indices since last podcast, S&P down 1.1, as well as the NASDAQ, Dow down 1.5. We're also actually hanging in there very nicely at three quarters. And gold has been the biggest mover. It's down around 10% since last podcast. So that's five trading days. And then the equal weight down 0.25%, which again, to me, is a reflection of what we've been talking about all year long. And that is seeing a lot of the additional names inside of the S&P really trying to kind of buoy the index itself. So it's hanging in there better than all the other indices. And that's what we wanted to see. That's why we positioned ourselves partially the way that we did. The other reason we positioned ourselves the way that we did was in anticipation of rate cuts. So that would be a good opportunity for us to go ahead and jump on over into Carl's corner.
With the FOMC meeting yesterday, the Fed committee meeting, there was no anticipation of a rate cut, and we did not get a rate cut as anticipated, which is perfectly fine with us, especially when we look at the metrics that have been coming out over the last 2 months. And there is still a slight anticipation of a rate cut, which we started with three, was our max anticipated rate cuts this year. We're now down to firmly being a max of two. Definitely not going to be happening before September. And let's jump into some of the reasons why. What's been happening with the energy, which is on everyone's mind, and the gas prices and everything going on like that, energy is highly correlated when it does come to inflation. And so when we have an increase in energy, it will have an increase in inflation. Now, if we can tamper that down sooner rather than later, then we should be right back on track, essentially just delayed out a couple of months, and everything will go back to rate cuts happening September, probably December as well. As of this moment, it's definitely the first rate cut possibility would be October. And the good thing about what Powell was saying yesterday is one of the key buzzwords that keeps being flown around is stagflation, which is where inflation rises and GDP growth goes down. We are not seeing that according to Jerome Powell. He says that the economy is still doing well, but we are getting higher inflation marks. But he's not even worried a little bit about there being a stagflation due to the increase in economy. Because one thing that I want to mention on here that may be kind of breezing past the talking heads out there, or maybe even some of our listeners, is that America is now the leading oil provider, which is one of the things that's really generating the most GDP for America, right? So that's why this instance that's happening currently, that's happening overseas, is not going to be the thing that would drag us into stagflation. In fact, it's increasing our GDP right now.
Yeah, well, and two, as I'm sure everyone knows, oil just reaches out into every little corner of the global economy, and we are very globally interconnected these days. And so that's going to spill into just about every industry in one form or another. And that's why it's such a key factor in well, the economy, but also in the decision making out of the Fed. And obviously this conflict in the Middle East and Iran, which is a very rich oil producing region, that has created a little bit of uncertainty across energy prices. And I think that's what the market is reacting to, it, not just solely interest rates, but that as well. And we've talked about this a couple of times on the podcast in prior conflicts that are still going on. Is there's so much money that moves around globally in periods of conflict. Almost always the case that we start out with a period of volatility to the downside when something like this kicks off, especially to your point when it affects a commodity that affects everything, every industry, every sector.
Absolutely.
And so I'm not surprised to see this volatility. But what also has happened almost, well, in recent times at least, that volatility gets subdued, and we start to see some of these other industries that get a boost in prices and production, that sort of thing, because of that. So short-term pain that has, at least in the past, most of the time, end up with long-term gain.
Absolutely. And looking at the market itself, let's step back to November of last year. We had some volatility to the downside as well, just like what the market is looking like right now. Different factors in different places, but let's look at it. When we looked at what happened in November of last year, November 1st, essentially, we were sitting at about 689 at the high for the S&P, 6,890. Within the month, it came down 5.6%. Okay, it came all the way back down to 650, all within a month. Within the next 2 months, we made all-time highs back up at just around 7,000 on the S&P. We are now down about 5.4% from that high down to where we are now. So we've seen this sort of market pullback and a little bit of this market correction not even that long ago. So it is conceivable, especially if the Iranian conflict stops within the next couple of weeks or a month, we can see that push back up back to all-time highs, which, as we've gone over earlier this year, JP Morgan was still anticipating it to hit 8,000. Bank of America, I think, was at 7,800. And there's still a very big bullish factor. We just need to get through this temporary turbulence to the downside so that everything kind of gets cleaned up and then we can make that push forward again.
That's right, and I think that's actually a very good point to point out that because we're just in March, that was 4 months ago, and even then, I think we did a podcast at that point in time where we stated, and I feel the same way now, which is it feels as an investment portfolio manager, it feels a lot more volatile than the numbers really show it to be. So I understand the angst, especially when you can tie it to. To a military conflict, in some way. And so that can add a layer of stress. But to your point, the S&P has only slid about 5% off of all-time highs, right? And yeah, that is a bit more comforting. And let me point out too, that's the S&P. We're not invested like the S&P. So we haven't even experienced that much. But it does, and I'm speaking to everyone when I say, and to myself, also being invested. Yes, it does feel more volatile. Nothing's really going to change that, but it is good to focus in on the numbers to get a bit of clarity and mental relief, if you will, of the entirety of the equation.
That's right. And we know that there's still going to be some more turbulence moving forward because nothing is going to be ended overnight. And we still have markers and metrics on what we are looking at personally for the portfolios to be able to try to take advantage of any of these downturns, the possibility of investing some cash. There's still some cash that we have left in the portfolios to be able to invest.
That's right.
There's also a couple rebalances that we've seen because we've had a few of our investments be able to rise through this, including anything in the energy field. We have some exposure to gold that was doing a run-up. And so we've kind of taken profits on those. And now we are sitting on some cash to be able to utilize during these kind of turbulent downturns. So we have markers, we have metrics in place, and we're hoping to be able to utilize them very shortly, to be honest.
Yep, that's exactly right. One quick thing I wanted to add, and then we can go ahead and close up here, is this just popped into my mind. But if you do a study of these types of bouts of volatility, what's very interesting, and without going into a ton of detail, but this one falls in line with the historical instances. When you have these types of downturns, they have vast majority fashion have been followed by extremely steep recoveries with short periods of recovery time. So that's something to keep in mind too. As soon as when I mean this goes back a long time, but as soon as it gets to that like cry uncle quote unquote part where a lot of people are going to, you know, investors are going to think this is going to continue, I can't continue with it. That's when it's going to turn, and it'll at least historically has been in a very sharp, steep manner. So I just wanted to throw that in there too. But Carl, did you have anything else?
No, nothing else that I have on my template. If you think anyone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday. And I think, at least in our area, it's supposed to be a beautiful weekend weather-wise. And we are going to go ahead and also look forward to doing this again next week.